Welcome to New Life Church teaching series, I Speak Jesus, with the lesson titled, I Speak Jesus Introduction. Our teacher today is Alan Smith.
I Speak Jesus. I'm a dairy farmer, and we milk cows. But yet I find myself up here talking about Jesus. And you know, I don't feel qualified, but he is. I don't feel like I've got the right words to say, but he does. I don't feel the burden at all that it's up to me to convince you of anything. But I do feel the awesome presence of the Lord in this place, and I'd like for us just to talk about him a little bit. As we do that, I want us to look at can somebody tell me who that is right there? Well, that's way too quick. I'm going to give you some harder ones. Okay, that's C.S. Lewis, Chronicles of Narnia. Okay, let's go to this one. Who's that? Hans Christian Andersen. You heard of The Ugly Duckling? I think he wrote that one. A lot of children's books. You know, what happens is C.S. Lewis, you think of the Chronicles of Narnia and of children's books with Hans Christian Andersen. Anybody tell me who that is? Respectable look. It doesn't look like a farmer, but can you see that? Oswald Chambers, yeah. Devotional. My Utmost to His Highest. You've read that one. How about this one? Tozer, Pursuit of God. One more. Oh, this one's contemporary here. John Piper. Here's what we have. These different men have written different novels, different books, and they're known for their names. They're associated with their writing, so they're kind of you don't think of C.S. Lewis as a dairy farmer. The first thing you think of is the writings that he has. So we can see how the names are associated somewhat with what they've written, what they've done, and how we remember and we make association with the names. Names are huge. Names are big. Names mean something. And as we're looking at this and as we move forward, Proverbs 22 says this, "A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. Loving favor rather than silver and gold." I wonder which one we seek. Do we seek the name or do we seek the silver and the gold? Here is another one in Ecclesiastes 7:1. "A good name is better than precious ointment. And the day of death than the day of one's birth." Now that is a hard one to understand. The day of death is better than the day of one's birth. That's what it says. A good name is better than precious ointment. Then we go on this. How is a good name built? So when we start thinking about, a name, what is in a name, what is in the name of Jesus? I was in a situation and we were worshiping God and somebody just started saying the name Jesus. And then somebody else said Jesus, and somebody else said Jesus, and somebody else said Jesus, and all of a sudden it was just, everything was just Jesus. And that thing kept building, and it kept building. The only thing that was said was the name of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. And once we just kept going with Jesus, and as the name Jesus just kept being repeated, you could see that there was truly an anointing, a power in the name of Jesus. And as believers, we have taken on the name of Christ, of Jesus. And not only that, we've had the opportunity of Christ in us. Jesus in us, the hope of glory. So we see that glory has a hope, and that hope is that we will associate with the name of Jesus. Can you hear that? We can associate with the name of Jesus. I've said this before, and I'll say it again because I'm sure our visitors had never heard a farmer say this. But as a dairy farmer, if you come to my farm and you walk into my milk barn while we're milking, you can walk in there and stay 15, 20 minutes. And you can leave the milk barn, go back and get into your vehicle where someone is awaiting you to drive you away. And the driver's going to say, "Ooh, you smell like a cow." Now, just because you smell like a cow doesn't make you a cow. This means you smell like a cow. Just because we hang out with Jesus don't make us Jesus, but we smell like Jesus. We've been hanging out with Him, so therefore we start taking on the name of Jesus a little bit. Could it be that we are that we hang out with? Could we take on the name of Jesus? When we take on the name of Jesus, it means we've been hanging out with Jesus. There's no substitute. It'll show up. You can be with me this week. I can be with you. It'll show up who we're hanging out with. It just shows up. It's our check your mood. I'll talk to that a little bit this morning. Check your mood. What's your mood like? Is your mood like Jesus? Or is your mood like a milk barn? You can translate that one now. So how is a good name built? How does this happen? Just look right here. Our day-to-day choices define us. If we're wanting to hang out with the name of Jesus, and we're going to say, you see, Jesus said, when we speak Jesus, I'm going to try to teach us something this morning that I failed at trying to find words to teach. I'll be very, very honest with you. I'm like, I don't know how I can teach this. So my only hope is that you will be attentive. You will trust the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost will speak to you what it is I think I'm trying to convey, because I promise you I cannot say it. Our day-to-day choices define us. You can say, well, I had a bad day. Well, you don't need to have too many, because your bad days define who you are. Can you hear somebody hear me? Now, you want to hang out with Jesus. You want to carry on the name of Jesus. You want to smell like Jesus. We want to walk in the anointing of the anointed one, Jesus. Well, here's what happens. Our day-to-day choices define us. Now, I'm going to give this one to you. Our day-to-day decisions create our character. My decisions, my choices, and my decisions create my character. Are you one that runs away from problems, or are you one that hits them head on? Do you cover up messes or fix messes? Your day-to-day decisions create your character. Now let's watch this one. A good character has the ability to make courageous choices at any given time. Now, life's hard. Anybody got a witness? Life is hard, but it doesn't have to be defeating. We are in real time here, people. This is not a simulation of life. We are in real time. Real choices creates real character. But a good character can make courageous choices. And I got the word courageous choices at any given time. Usually a courageous choice is something that a lazy person won't choose. That's true. So a courageous choice. So there's choices in life. But then there's courageous choices. A courageous choice is making a choice that you don't want to do. That's how you know it's courageous. Right? You say, oh, I don't want to do that. Well, they're going to say, well, they're going, well, this, nobody's going to like me. Well, that's the reason I got this next. How you make your choices, are they based on your convenience? Are they based on pressure? How do you make your choices? I'm going to choose this because it's more convenient. I'm going to choose this because of all the pressure. We tend to say what is right is what's convenient. What is wrong is what's not convenient. That's not a courageous choice. Now, I want to show you, how does this tie into the name of Jesus? It fully ties into the name of Jesus. If you're going to walk in the authority and smell like Jesus and act like Jesus, you're going to have to learn to make some courageous choices. They're courageous choices. Your flesh will not, it will lead you astray. So you have to be courageous with your flesh. Now, do we make our choices we make because of the pressure we're under? Or do we make it because of conviction? Now, if we're going to speak the name of Jesus, we must, by necessity, start identifying with the character of Jesus. And this is it's simple. This is not complicated. But it does challenge us. In other words, I just can't think and act any old way I want to think and think I'm going to come out smelling like Jesus. If we're constantly walking in the realm of forgiveness and not walking into the realm of victory, come on, somebody. Are you with me? Bad choices will equal remorse and regret. Anybody had any remorse and regret? Okay, what causes that? Usually it's bad choices. We didn't make a courageous choice. We made a bad choice because it wasn't convenient or you know the story. Let's think about this. We're going to tie it into Jesus here. Now, small decisions. Now, this is a short message. This is not a long message. So hang on. Small decisions. Our small choices and decisions must be full of strength and faith. It's small. It's the everyday decisions. It's not one big decision and I make 20 little ones just because it's convenient. Here we go. Our small choices and decisions must be full of strength and faith. Now, life choices always has two paths. You're always at a fork in the road. I'm either going for convenience, right? Or somebody, if something doesn't suit you, it's not usually not suiting your choice, which is usually made out of pressure or convenience. So we're always at the, life is always, it deals with this. It's always two ways to go. I got a choice. I can go right or I can go left. Now here's a good one. We'll use the Word of God to choose why it's not convenient. That takes some scriptural gymnastics, but we'll not go into that one. Every choice reflects our past and determines our future. Come on. So why are these choices important? They are important. The choices are important. And the reason that they're important is because they create our future. But what we don't seem to understand, our choices reflect where we've been, our past. Are you with me? When the Lord, how can we change this? We allow God to redeem the past. And then our future is not a reflection of our past. You've heard people say, well, it just keeps, my past just keeps repeating itself. Duh. Come on. Let's catch on here. We need redemption in our thinking. Let's move forward. Jesus made decisions that created his name. Jesus made some hard decisions that created his name. One's in Romans 5:19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Aren't you glad Jesus made the right choice? Is that not amazing? You start seeing a pattern that Jesus has. Jesus never goes the way that's convenient. He doesn't yield to the pressure. He's obedient to the truth. Let's look at this next one in Philippians 2:8. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Does anyone see what precedes obedience? It's a preceding word. Humility. Humility. How do you know if you are being obedient? Because it usually precedes it with humility, which means it's something that you're not going to take great pride in. It's something that you're not going to showboat. Matter of fact, you probably have to disagree with yourself to do it. Right? You usually have to disagree with ourselves. So what are we looking for here? We are looking for, here's the goal. The goal is to have a people of God that when we speak Jesus, something changes. Yes! Something moves, something's shaken, something changes. So we see here that humility precedes. It's a preceding word. You can get a word, but you've got to watch the preceding words to the word. The preceding word here to obedience is humility. I want us to look at it in Philippians 2, 9 through 11. The Word of God says this, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him what? Say it with me, the name. The name, which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of who? God the Father. So here we've got to understand something. Jesus got the name. Everybody with me? If you don't know who's got the name, Jesus, he got the name. His name is Jesus. Now, why is the big deal Jesus? Well, let's go back a little further here. Now, this is what Matthew said about it. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name what? Emmanuel, which being interpreted is what? Is what? Now, I told you, God's got this sneaking thing going on. He wants to hang out with his people. God's been up to it since Genesis 1. God has one focal point in this book. He wants to hang out with his people. Can somebody hear what I'm trying to say? God wants to hang out with his people. That's his goal. That's his mission. The reason he did all of this fine print in the middle was just to get us back up to speed to be with him. Why in the world he'd want to hang out with us, I don't know. But he's got this itch, and this itch is he wants to be with us. So he's created all this stuff we can do to hang out with him, be with us. Then we had some flaws and stuff, and God said, oh, my goodness, they smell. I got to fix that one. And so then he went to the cross, and he said, I'm going to die for them. I'm going to make them smell good when they come out of that barn where I can sort of hang out with them. So he sent his son Jesus. He died his death. He did it all because he wants to hang out with us. Now we see that Emmanuel means God with us. So people of God, we got to catch on. God wants to be with us. We think we want to be with him. He really wants to be with us. He really wants to be with us. So I know we're not begging him. I know that's not the case. The case is he just wants me to open my eyes and just turn towards him. And he's there. Now here's the key. God wants to be with us. But this has really got me going. Why? Why? God's a big God. I think he's got a lot going on. But his main objective is to be with us. Because he says he loves us that much. Can you believe that? Yes! Can anybody get up? He loves us that much. Now, I know I don't have a hold of that thing. I know it's bigger than what I've got a hold of. But God loves us that much that he wants to be with us. Keep that in mind. Watch this one. Now we see in Isaiah 7:14. Matthew, don't think Matthew, I'm not putting Matthew down, okay? Don't go out here and say I put Matthew down. But Matthew didn't think of that himself. He got it out of Isaiah. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. So here we see God was prophesying it all the way back to Isaiah. We know that God had it in his mind in Genesis 1 and 2 that he's wanting us. So listen, the name of Jesus is a big deal because that's God wanting to be with us. That's a big deal. So now he's given the name, and his name is Jesus. Now, okay, let's look at the name here just a second. The Hebrew word is, can somebody pronounce that? Yasha. That's it. That's what it is. It's just Yasha. That's the Hebrew word, which means rescue, help, defend, preserve, make free, attain, victory, bring to safety, heal, save. Listen, if God wants to hang out with us, that's a lot, right? From Yasha comes the word what? Yeshua, which means salvation. So if you roll all of that stuff up to help and defend, all of that up into one, you just call it salvation. It's Yeshua. That was the name. Yeshua was translated into Greek as Jesus. I want you to see this in Exodus as we develop the name a little bit here. The Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my what? Salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a what? A habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. So here we see again, we're in Exodus here. Moses, he's speaking about God, but he's always speaking, and it's in terms of habitation. God with us. Can you see that? God has got this thing of wanting to be with us. Why is it that why does God not want us to spend full time pointing out each other's faults? It's because God already knows it. God already knows what they are. And if I'm sitting around trying to point out your faults to God, God says, hey, Alan, cool it, I've got it. Right? He doesn't even. And why? Because it takes up valuable time of me habitating with God. God's made the provision. Now, Yeshua has become our answer to everything. Now, watch this one. We are to bring every need we have and bring it into contact with the name of Jesus. I would hope there's a hallelujah out there somewhere. We are to bring every need we have and bring it into contact with the name of Jesus. I hope you're getting that. It's just like the baptismal waters. We've been through the teaching here of how we set aside, or we set aside these baptismal waters. We set it aside in the name of. Why do we say in the name of Jesus? We get into a habit of saying in the name of Jesus. Not understanding we are invoking something when we say in the name of Jesus. Let's watch it. There is power in the name of Jesus. I mean, hallelujah. There is power in the name of Jesus. Just because we don't understand the power in the name of Jesus does not mean the power of Jesus isn't there. You can say, well, Alan, I've never experienced. Still don't mean it's not there. You don't have to jump into the sun to believe it's there. There is power in the name of Jesus. Let me show you here, maybe, perhaps, how it works. Why do we see so little power sometimes? Now, let's consider this. This is Exodus 20 and verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. There's power in the name of Jesus. Here's one of the Ten Commandments. And you say, well, Alan, how does that keep us from seeing power in the name of Jesus? Well, right here we see that we're not supposed to take the name of the Lord God in vain. We have bad habits of using the name of God or Jesus in vain. When you associate, in other words, when something goes wrong, people will say a vulgar curse word, GD. In other words, you're tying God's name with something that fails. Or something goes wrong, Jesus. Right? It's the attitude. A lot of times we're taking the Lord's name in vain. And when we take the Lord's name in vain, we are associating it and tying it with failure. Why would you want God to bless something that's going wrong? I don't know anyway. Right? But here's the point here. We need to understand that the name of Jesus has power. So therefore, we want to be very careful on how we use that name. Amen? Look here. In vain, here's the meaning, without success or a result. So when we take God's name in vain, we're associating it and tying it with failure because there's power in that name. I'm going to give you an example here. The more you believe in that name, the more you will see it become real. Here's how it works. There's power in the name. There's power in the place of a president, right? There's power in the position of a pastor. Of course, there's power in the name of Jesus. Now, here's what I'm wanting you to catch. If I am representing Jesus' name and His interest, the name of Jesus gives me access to all the power. Can you see that? And authority. Now, this is the key point here. I'm going to point it out to be sure we get it. If I am representing Jesus' name, if you're a Christian or if you're a believer, if you have been born again, you've got to understand something. You have signed up for representing Jesus. He's not representing you. You're representing Him. Can anybody see that? And when we do that, we have access. It doesn't say it's going to come, but it says we have access to power and authority. Now, what I want us to start making a distinguishing thought here is representing Jesus. A lot of times we'll say things in Jesus' name, but we're not really representing Jesus. We're representing what we want to happen. Anybody with me? There's a difference in representing Jesus and representing what I want to happen. Now, there's nothing wrong with making your request made known. But there's another thing to do it in the name of Jesus. This is what I'm wanting us to take a look at. If we go out to 64 here and somebody's speeding and they speed around me and I speed up real quick and I go up to them and I pull them over and I say, I'm going to take you to jail for speeding. Yeah, they're going to laugh at me is what they're going to do. They're going to say, you're going to, you and your mama, right? If a police officer comes up and has a blue light on, he says, I'm taking you to jail, you going. Why? It's a difference in authority. There's a difference in authority. I can walk in my authority or I can walk in my positional authority. Did you know the officer's not representing himself? He's representing the law. It's not his opinion. It's the law. Now, a lot of times we try to get him to use his opinion. But his job is to represent the one in whom he has the uniform. When we're representing Jesus, we're not representing us. We're representing Him. See, a lot of times we think, well, I'm a, well, I mean, God's a genie, and I've got my wish list, and I'm going to go to him and say, oh, everything I ask, he ought to give it. I don't know. How's that one working for you? Right? What's the difference? And I want us to see it. There again, I told you, you're going to have to catch it. I can't quite teach it. It's not who I am that makes the difference, but who I am who I represent that makes all the difference. It's not who I am, it's who I represent. So as a people of God, as a representative of God, we're representing, well, I'm not representing me, we're representing Him. So that means that we're taking on a different mindset. If I'm representing God, do you not think I need to check in with Him on what He thinks about the situation? Right? It's not opinionated. You know, a lot of our battles today are over opinions. Well, I think it needs to be this. And a lot of battles in the church we have today. Y'all know the battles. If you're representing yourself, well, go start your own church. But if you're going to be a church of God, we're representing what God's already said. We can't have an opinion. We're representing Him. End of story. Now, the reason I say this is because in the day that we're living in like the times of Babylon, for some reason we're trying to redefine good and evil. It's already been defined. We can't redefine it because we want to. Well, God, you say anything I ask you will do it, so I want to redefine good and evil. Now, that sounds foolish, but that's what we try to do. When we find what we're here to do is represent Him. So when you say something in Jesus' name, you got to do your homework and check up that you're representing Jesus when you say it. Did you get it? You getting it? Now, it's very, 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 very important. Let's watch this one. When we use the name of Jesus, we are acknowledging we are a representative of Jesus. Acts 3 and 4. Now, here we go. Peter and John, I'm sure you remember this story. They healed a cripple from birth in the name of Jesus. You remember they were sitting there at the synagogue, and people carried the cripple out. And when he carried them out, they would carry him out every day. And they went up to him, and he said, will you give me alms? And Peter said, well, silver and gold I don't have, but what I give you in the name of Jesus. You see, Peter was being a representative of Jesus. He wasn't saying, oh, no, there's a crippled fellow. My heart's going out to him. I think he needs... Jesus told him to pray for that crippled man. And Peter was representing Jesus when he did it. He wasn't representing Peter. So does it not give us this idea we need to hone in on our ability to hear the voice of God? The voice of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the voice of God, is real. It is real. It's tangible. It gives us direction. So when He puts us in a situation, we're a representative of Jesus. And He says this and that, and we do it, and this and that happened. Let me put this in right here also. Obedience doesn't mandate something's going to happen. Now, we can say that they were obedient, and so therefore the guy got healed. We can be obedient to the voice of the Lord, and sometimes things are conditional on the recipient, and it can be rejected. So there again, what we're looking for is not the results. What we're looking for is our point of obedience. Are you being obedient to the voice of the Lord? That is the issue. If we go around trying to say, well, this happened or this didn't happen or this happened, so I guess this is theologically sound. I guess that's not theologically sound. Because I got results. Hey, come on, somebody. There wasn't many prophets got to see their own results. Let's move on right quickly. Okay, here Peter and John. They healed the cripple, and they're arrested. That was a good amen. They are released, but in Acts 4:18, they are commanded, now look at this, not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. They say, we're going to let you go, but you just can't do it in the name of Jesus. It's like that was their AK-47 or something. I don't know what it is. You can do it, but don't go equipped. Because you knew when y'all use the name of Jesus, stuff shakes, stuff happens. Can anybody see that? They didn't care they were free. Just don't use the name of Jesus. So all of a sudden we start saying, whoa, I think there's power in the name of Jesus. I thought I was just talking. I think there's something to this Jesus thing. We moved on a little further here. When they preached in his name, they were all representatives. So that is the what I want you to pick up there is a representative. Now let's look at this one right quickly. This is Acts 19. Now in Acts 19, the same principle, but just a little different outcome. Now this is Acts 19. Y'all remember this, I'm sure. Where now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the disease left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did some. They saw the apostles doing this in the name of Jesus. Paul was a representative of Jesus. So here are some soothsayers, if you will, or some exorcists, or whoever you want to call them. They said, well, there's power in the name of Jesus. We're going to get us some of that. They got them some, all right. They got them some. They were using the name of Jesus, but without his authority to use it. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but he said, who in the heck are you? Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped upon them, overpowered them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Come on, somebody. They thought, yeah, I want some of that. Paul said, get you some. They got them some. They tried the name of Jesus. Yeah, it got the demon out, but it's like a dog chasing a car. What you going to do when you catch it? They got it out. It worked. Power in the name. Whooped their hind ends right down the road is what happened. I bet it's the last time they used the name of Jesus. I bet they run every time they heard Jesus. Last time they used it and didn't have the authority, they got a good hiney whooping. That's what they got. But it brings us to attention. And that attention is, I need to be careful how I use that powerful name of Jesus. I need to be careful. I'm just throwing it around everywhere like a shotgun. When I'm supposed to be listening to that still small voice when I pray or I say something in the name of Jesus. Come on, folks, there's power in the name of Jesus. If I ask in the name of Jesus, I am representing his interest. Now this, I don't want to lose you here. I don't want to lose you here. I'm representing his interest. I'm going to be a representative of Jesus, so I need to know what are his interests. Now, I want to go and represent his interest, and I want to speak his name in authority. Key here is understanding what are his interests. Now, it says this in 1 John. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. I've got underlined his will. What that means is I understand what his interests are. Are you with me? We can say, well, anything's his will. No. Listen to me. The truth must be applied at the right time for the truth to bring life and not death. Now, don't let me lose you here. The truth is, and some of you heard me say it, you plant corn perfectly, inch and a half deep. Grandpa said two knuckles. Inch and a half deep. You got to soil moisture, certain soil moisture. You got to soil certain soil temperature. And if you plant that corn, it'll sprout and it'll come up. Well, you can plant that corn first or last October, first of November if you want to. And you can plant it just right. It's the truth. But guess what? It's going to sprout and grow up and die because frost's going to kill it. The truth is to be applied by the leadership of the Holy Ghost. A lot of people go out here slinging truth like a shotgun and killing everybody they come in contact with. Ain't nobody getting that truth. It's not out of love. Well, it's the truth, bless God, I'm going to tell them. Wrong season. You're doing it in your own strength, not in the name of Jesus. So I want to find out what His will is. I know the truth. But we are walking in a foreign land, a foreign country here, folks. This is not friendly territory. So we find ourselves walking. We're equipped with truth. You might be in Walmart and the Holy Ghost says, go speak to that young man right over there. Ask him what's hurting him. You're like, God, I don't know him. But you hear the voice of the Lord. You know it's the truth. You know it's the truth. It's just like when a brother's come in here this morning, the Lord said, receive him as from me. That's all I heard. Receive him as from me. All of a sudden, I got excited. I was so glad y'all's here. I got excited. Didn't know why, but I knew you was here to deposit something. We won't see it, but the Lord sent him here to deposit something among us. We'll see the fruit of it later. Because we can hear the voice of the Lord. So we want to see what His will is. When we see what His will is, then we know when to apply the truth. Are you with me there? So His will, I mean, I know a lot of people preach and teach and say, no, you throw her out there. Throw it out there anytime, and it don't have to be, you don't have to ask God if it's His will or not. It's always His will. That's not the God I've run into. If we're representing Jesus, we want to know what His will is in the moment. The key is whose interest I am representing. Am I representing my own? Whose interest am I representing? I'm not going to call any names, but I've prayed for people and prayed for people to be healed. And they're not healed. And they go on to glory, to be with the Lord. I can say I don't understand that, but I want to tell you something. I think I do understand it. I believe God's will was done. You can say, Alan, how can you say that? Because I trust God. God knows what He's doing. Do I think we lost a round? Not on here. No. What do? We keep doing the right thing. The right thing is we pray for the lost. We pray for the sick. We pray. That's what we do. The end result's up to God. We're not God. He's just called us to be obedient. Is it all right if I say that? I hope so, because I'm going to say it anyway. Our key here is who are we representing when we pray for each other? Am I representing what I want to happen, or am I representing what I hear is the will of the Lord? Now, just like I said, sometimes it's fine. He said, make your request known. That's good. But when I say something in Jesus' name, you got to understand something. You're prophesying. In the name of the Lord, I say this. In the name of the Lord, I say this. In the name of the Lord, I say this. It's important. Signs and wonders were done through the name of Jesus. And it says this in Acts 4:30. By the stretching out of your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Y'all see that? Now, I want to show you how this verse works. Look at there. Signs and wonders were done through the name of Jesus. By stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. So here's the name again. It's got power. Now watch this. In the name of Jesus isn't a formula. Now verse 30 is the end of a sentence that began in verse 29. You just read 30 at the top. See that? But there was a verse before 30, and it's called 29. Now here's what 29 said. Now, Lord, look at their threats and grant to your servant that with all boldness they may speak your word. Now, here's what you got to see. They were preaching the gospel. They were preaching the word of God right there. You see that? And as they were preaching the word of God, they preached, spoke healing. It wasn't that they went out healing. They were given the gospel. Then these signs shall follow them. Are you with me? Now let's watch this one. I'm going to show you another one. They were representing Jesus' interest by preaching the Word of God. Now here it is. It's in Acts 4:29-30. This is the two verses put together. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that which all boldness they may speak your word. See that? By stretching out your hand to heal and the signs and the wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. My point is, they were out doing the gospel, and while they were doing the gospel, they spoke healing. They were not just asking for miracle. Their goal was to represent Jesus. Is anybody getting this? Their goal is to represent Jesus. Sometimes we get off on the miracles. We get off of Jesus. The goal is to represent Jesus. This happened in Acts 16. And this she did for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. Here you got Paul preaching. He's up there preaching. This person, and all of a sudden he got annoyed. He said, foul demon, come out of her. He was doing the gospel. And in doing the gospel, in serving Jesus is the point. In representing Jesus, these other things happened. They tended to follow. They were not the main issue. I'm going to try to go on a little here. Being mindful of God's interest is the key in prayer. Now watch this one. I'm about done. John 14:13-14. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Being mindful of God's interest is the key in prayer. Here's the component we're bringing to the table. We're bringing the component to the table that God has some interest here for us to use the name of Jesus. Are you with me? Now, they're not all about your problems. There's a point in prayer we can do that. This is different. The name of Jesus brought salvation, and this is Acts 4:12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. If there's enough power in the name of Jesus to save us from hell and send us towards heaven with a new heart, with a new spirit within us, what in the world can this name of Jesus do? I don't think we've scratched the surface of it, church. We're not near guilty enough of doing stuff in the name of Jesus. There's more. The name of Jesus is called the Almighty One, and I'm going to end with this one. I'm not even going to read all of those because I'm out of time, and I've got one last one here. The name of Jesus is the head of the church, and he put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church. Here's what he's done, folks. We're the church. Because of the name of Jesus, that name that's above every name, Jesus himself has given the church his name to use. He's just encouraging us not to use it in vain. Use the name of Jesus because we know what is his will, and therefore we are speaking it, the will of God. I want to show you a little something that happened, I think it was last week. down in Brazil. This is where they proclaimed the name of Jesus. This is February the 8th, 2020. Anybody ever heard of the SEND? Lou Engle and also Theo's brother was there, Michael Koulianos. But they had these three events running at the same time in three different stadiums. Last time I looked before the event started, two of the stadiums were sold out and the other one's almost sold out. Now, of these three stadiums, they were getting together proclaiming the name of Jesus. But there it is. Three different stadiums. This is last week in Brazil. Three different stadiums. Most of it's 35 and under. Proclaiming the name of Jesus. Three stadiums. It was called the SEND in Brazil. Over 160,000 were in three stadiums with over 10,000 commitments to be full-time missionaries. I want to tell you something. I'm glad I didn't go or I'd have been a missionary. Listen, you can't sit in that thing, sitting around a bunch of people hollering in the name of Jesus. Something's going to happen. You better be glad you weren't there. You wouldn't be here today. I'm telling you. People went into those meetings and that thing came unglued. The presence of Jesus was in that place. 160,000. One of the speakers, they were pretty close together. He was speaking at one, and he'd leave it, and he'd go to the other, and he left it, and he went to the other. What's the boy's name that took Reinhard Bonnke's Kalinda or something like that? I forget his name. Yes. I think it was him. And it was just Jesus stuff everywhere. Listen, somebody got in touch with the power that's in the name of Jesus. Come on, y'all. There's power in the name of Jesus. We've got to get our focus back to the reality. The reality, the focus of the reality is the name of Jesus. There's power in that thing. We got to be careful with it. We got to hold it properly. We don't want to abuse it. We don't want to misuse it. We understand that God's given us a phrase to use, and He's given it to the church. And that phrase is, in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I had one goal this morning, that was to equip you afresh and anew with the in the name of Jesus. I pray that it'll be on your lips as we leave here. This altar is going to be open if you'd like to come up here. We're going to have a couple prayer circles over here. If y'all would come on up and get ready at the end here to set those up. Anybody wants to be water baptized, say, Alan, I didn't come prepared. We love it. We like them that's changed. And you say, well, Alan, I'm saved and I've been water saved. Well, I've been water baptized. And well, if God's calling you to get wet, just jump right on in again is all I know. We're not trying to do it. Listen. In Jerusalem, the day of Jesus, the priests got baptized every day. We're the ones that has reduced it to one believer's baptism. They got baptized every day. Tradition has brought. Listen, you get in that baptismal waters when the Holy Ghost says, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to meet you in that water. Yes! So let's stand. See, Michael, if you want to be baptized, the altar's open if you want to come here. We got prayer pods over here. And at the same time, we got communion going on at the back. Do I have some communion guys back there? Yes, I see Craig there. Craig's at one, and we'll have somebody else at the other one. Craig, if you'll be sure we got somebody at the other one, I'd appreciate it. So, Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for sending us new brothers and sisters this morning. we're so thankful that you allow them to come here and be with us. And Lord God, we speak a special blessing over them for their obedience and being here. We speak a special blessing over them, their church, and their families. We pray, oh God, that they'll go in the name of Jesus. And when they leave here, they'll leave with more than they came from, with an anointing, a fresh anointing. That, dear God, that they'll take over Lenore wherever you've got them. That they'll have a special anointing in their hands and in their hearts. That the world might be saved for the kingdom. Lord God, we pray for this congregation today. We thank you for this congregation. And it's our prayer, oh God, that we will learn what you mean when you say that we do things in the name of Jesus. We speak 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 Jesus. Lord, if there's anyone here that has an infirmity in their body, in the name of Jesus, we speak healing to the bodies. In the name of Jesus, we declare it. By permission, I feel to pray that healing would take place in this place today. Dear God, for healing for emotional distress, I say healing. I feel permission in the name of Jesus to speak healing to emotional problems, emotional disorders. There's some in here, oh God, that financially are just needing Jesus, they got to get you. They got to have you quickly. So financially, oh God, in the name of Jesus, do I have a witness? In the name of Jesus, we declare, oh God, that their financial distress would be met. I anoint and I call forth that this congregation, everybody watching on the internet and everybody under the sound of my voice, I anoint us all with the truth of the gospel of the name of Jesus Christ, that we would leave here never being the same, that we would leave here empowered. We love you, Lord. Let this people go in safety and peace, and let this group infect the world with the kingdom of God is our prayer. And the children of God said, amen and amen.